Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Slam Fire Radio, episode 75 for September 19th, 2014. I'm one of your hosts, Matthew the Warning Shot McClatchy.
I'm another one of your hosts, Trevor the Frelatte. Frelatte?
Yeah, and Owen is, he's off sick this week, right?
No, I'm the sick one. He's the working.
Oh, he's working. Right. I can never remember what you two are.
Yeah.
You're
I'm
the sickly
sick one. And he's workly.
So, workly. All right. So, Trevor, I guess, if Owen's not here, we'll start off with you. What'd you do with, guns this week? Whoa. What is,
what's that faint music in the background?
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Sounds like our favorite clone troopers arrived. Filthy, how you doing, man?
Good, guys. How are you?
I thought it was Bolivar for a second. Usually he's the one that squirrels into our shows, but...
My turn.
Your turn.
Welcome. And let me just begin by saying, yet again, I'm sorry.
Totally forgiven.
Thank goodness, because payback would have been awful.
What'd you do this time?
Well, you were there, weren't you? Didn't you take the photograph?
No, I did not. I did not. I am in no way associated with that, actually. Now that you mention it, in fact, I seem to recall somebody saying, yeah, that'll never make it on Facebook. That's a line I just wouldn't cross.
And then moonshine happened.
And then the line got crossed.
Yeah, it ever. But Filthy crossed the line tenfold, but has promised not to release the photos.
Oh, I see.
Never be published.
That's awfully nice of him.
There's some lines even dirty, filthy clone troopers won't cross.
And that was one of them.
So anyway, the Empire rocks, and long live the Empire.
Sweet, sweet music to my ears. What I did with guns this week? Well, I came to Restigouche, and I shot the three-gun match, or are we going to call it the multi-gun?
It's multi-gun.
Well, it's the blaster gun match for you, isn't it?
Last year it was a blaster gun because I used my short-barreled rifle, shot all over the place.
I have one of those.
Yeah.
Aren't they fun?
We had the same barrel.
Yeah, yeah. How'd that work out for us?
Well, I shot a 16-inch barrel this year, so, yeah.
Yeah, so how'd you like the match?
Oh, I loved it. It was
save it for the main topic. No. What else did you do?
Oh, okay.
Sunday and other stuff.
Oh, Sunday. Okay, yeah. Sunday, Trevor and I and Fred went to the range. And in about 5 minutes, Trevor analyzed what I do with handguns that's wrong, which is everything, it turns out.
So it turns out you should just stick to rifles.
It really should, yeah. I like pistols, but they don't like me.
Oh, you're better now already, though.
I stand wrong. I hold it wrong. I press the trigger wrong. I do have good sight picture, though.
There you go. I was going to say, so come on now. We found one thing you were doing right. We did the exemplar drill with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he shot a tighter group with him aiming the gun and me pulling the trigger than I did shooting his gun.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. So there's hope. We isolated it. I mean, there's minor.
Is it like just regular hope or is it like a new hope?
That's not funny. We isolated it to trigger press. There was a minor form. The way I explained it to both Filthy and Fred was that your grip and your stance give you speed while shooting. Your trigger press and your sight picture give you accuracy while shooting. So accuracy was his problem more so than speed. And we isolated his accuracy problem to trigger press. The sight alignment certainly wasn't the issue. So he knows that he needs to play with trigger press and basically dry fire and develop.
I was just gonna say dry fire, and then after you're done dry firing, dry fire some more.
And then take out your Advantage Arms 22 conversion kit, because if you're yanking the muzzle, you're yanking the muzzle with 9mm or 22. So you might as well get the problem corrected. Learn how to shoot nice tight groups with the 22, and then put the 9mm barrel back in the gun.
Yeah, I'd like to point out to your American fans that I have thousands upon thousands of 22 rounds to practice with, too.
Perfect.
What else did you do?
Nothing.
Oh.
I have been away shooting every weekend since mid-July, so I stayed home with the family. Kind of boring. We're talking about having a family day at the range this weekend with my next-door neighbor, though.
That'll be cool.
Yeah,
it's always fun to take new people out to the range.
Yep. And
no, keep going. What else?
Oh, okay. No, that was
calling.
No, I could hear family. I'm sorry about that. You can edit that out. Family stuff next room over.
Couldn't hear a thing.
Okay.
Neighbors are fighting or something, or
no? Mini me and Major Mom.
Oh, Major Mom, nice. Yeah, well, you'll learn soon that I don't edit, so carry on.
Okay. The dark side of the force is strong in mini-me. Anyway, moving on. Gosh, really, that's it for guns. The major thing was on the weekend, you know, come home, pack everything away, and hopefully get out this weekend. And I've got to go visit a gunsmith. Both my grands are at a gunsmith right now. They're a straight pull, so that's got to be worked on.
Wait, the straight pull grand, right? Yeah, the Australian
made by Ross.
Version.
Exactly, exactly. One of them has a 308 barrel, and its gas port is a little bit too small, so that had to be opened up.
Right.
And the other one, we're not sure.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, a bit of a mystery.
It's the wood.
It's got to be. I mean, yeah. It compresses and stuff, right? And so yeah, that just messes stuff up.
Sap is leaking out into the action.
Yeah. It's gumming it up. Got to get that sap out of there.
I will pass that advice on to the gunsmith, Trevor.
Look, he wouldn't have even known if we hadn't suggested it.
Exactly.
That's right.
If only I'd got that fiberglass stock for it, too.
If only. So did you do any shotgun stuff on Sunday?
No, but I watched Trevor actually shoot that stage way better than he did during the competition. So that was
eye-opening. You didn't shoot trap on Sunday?
Oh, my God. I completely forgot about that.
Let me guess. You shot some trap on Sunday.
We shot McIntyre-style trap, and that's, I think, all I can say about that, right?
That's correct.
It was a lot of fun, and that's it.
It was
glad
a lot
to hear.
Of fun.
Cool. All right. So I guess if you're done, Phil, what about Trevor? What do you do?
Well, again, Phil, thanks for joining us this week. Nice to have you on with us. Have we ever had Filthy on the show before, Matthew?
No, this is a first.
Awesome. We asked him to come on to talk about the match with us because he was there and did really well. So, again, thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, well, like Filthy, I shot McIntyre-style trap, or trap a la muffin, if you will. muffin trap, muffin-style trap, whatever you want to call it. That's all we're going to say about that. And then on Sunday, yes, we did, after Muffin Trap, Fred and Phil and I went to the back of the range, and we shot our rifles, our shotguns, our pistols. We did some moving practice with the pistol, walking forward, heel-toe, walking backwards, you know, walking forward, and then running the gun dry, doing a reload, and walking backwards. We did that a few times. Did reshoot the nice rack stage because I wanted a second crack at it. My Versamax had a failure to feed on that stage during the match, and it cost me that stage. So I tried it on Sunday and went from, I think McIntyre won that stage with an 11-second run, and I did it on Sunday with a 9-second run, all alphas.
Right.
So that felt really good to know that if the gun had worked.
To know that you can really step it up the day after the match.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what's important is the day after.
No. See, here's the thing. I stepped up during the match. The gun failed me.
Right.
Right. I had what it took, but the gun.
So basically, your Versamax is a 1911.
It's certainly starting to act that way. Yeah. But it's all ripped apart downstairs. I tore it apart. I don't know, Monday or Tuesday, because Osprey Ordnance Nathan is going to repair the bolt release button for me. It does in fact spin, and it's not supposed to spin. So he's going to silver solder it or blaze it or something to get it to stay in place.
Cool.
It
hasn't been giving you any other trouble though, right? I mean, that was just kind of a one-off when it didn't feed properly.
That's correct.
That's good. Because they are known to be fairly reliable guns, right?
Yeah. Yeah, cycle anything and blah, blah, blah. But there was no less than 3 failures to feed in the match.
So, no idea what's causing it, though, yet?
No, I'm hoping the gun was just dirty because I gave it a really, really thorough cleaning.
Right. Yeah, you're the guy that doesn't like to clean your gun right before a match.
No, not necessarily. Usually I'm a lot better at cleaning my guns than this. I know some people don't want to clean a gun before a match. I think it's a superstition.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just kind of like you don't want to go with a clean gun. You want to make sure it's got at least 100 rounds through it kind of thing, just to make sure everything's working right.
I don't buy into that.
No.
If you reassemble the gun correctly, it should work just fine.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
But here's the thing. If you reassemble the gun correctly, so maybe taking it out and shooting 50 rounds after you clean, it's not a bad idea anyway.
Yeah. If you're a complete numpty, don't know what you're doing maybe, but.
So did you hear that, Phil? You should make sure you shoot 50 rounds before you.
Sounds good. Well, my nickname isn't filthy for nothing.
There you go.
Gotta have a filthy gun, right?
Yep.
The barrel on that thing had actually never been cleaned, including the chamber.
Right.
So
that might have had something to do with it.
Yeah, the only time it had been cleaned is when I was messing with that pin retaining clip and playing with those bolt release buttons. I just would wipe it down and re-grease it, but I never actually took any hoppies to any of the parts or anything like that. So, what else? I got out last night with Mark Giroux. We went to the range. He took his bolt action Marlin with iron sights, and I took my Remington 597 VTR, and we shot the latest Squirrel's Friends challenge. Ironically, I did better standing and running out of time and having 6 rounds left in the gun than I did kneeling and getting all the time, all the rounds off with 4 seconds left on the clock. I think when I went kneeling, I got cocky. I thought it was more stable and I shot faster and just did not have as good a run. I got 185 while kneeling and 207 while standing. But the cool part was I hit the ladybug both times, both kneeling
nice.
And standing.
Yeah. I can't hit that thing for love nor money.
So
I got 5 feet away.
I got a score of 185 while kneeling and a score of 207 while standing. I have no idea how that stacks up against other people. I don't even remember what you said your score was when you did it. I think your strategy was to just hit the elephant as many times as you could.
Yeah, it was something like that.
So
no, mine was like 120 or something. It wasn't very good. I got to do it again sometime, but I just wanted to get one out there first.
It's a lot of fun because it's different than just bullseye shooting, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's a bit interesting just to shoot at different shaped objects and stuff anyway.
Yeah. So I've been sorting through my .223 ammo because Friday night before the multi-gun, we went out to practice, and I had some rounds that didn't want to chamber in my STI. Oh, and I got another shout-out for Fred, but before I forget, scrolling off, an extra additional shout-out to Fred for changing the gas rings in my STI on Friday night as well. I found a broken one and then found all of them were pretty worn, and he replaced those for me.
Yeah, I remember that conversation, actually. It was Fred saying, your bolt's a little loose, and it was Trevor saying, yeah, do you know what the fix is for that? When it stops working, you change the rings. And then like 30 seconds later, Fred's like, oh, one of these rings is broken. Trevor's like, change the rings.
Pretty much exactly how it went. Yeah, because he was doing that test, right? And it was just flopping right down, but I don't know how many rounds is through that gun. There must be a fair bit, but
oh yeah, but it was still running. I mean, I don't know how many rings you need to have intact for it to run properly, but it was still running. So
that's right. Well, we weren't going to find out in a match.
No.
so thanks for changing those. And so anyway, we found on Friday night the rounds that didn't want to change had these funny marks on the neck, like scratches from the die. They almost look like they were neck sized only, not full and three sized. I don't know. I'm just making that up, but
right.
It's definitely the bullet is seated past the cannuler. You can't see any of the cannuler whatsoever. And, again, funny scratches on the neck. So I, quickly looked through my ammo that I had for the match and took those ones out and had no problems during the match. And then I started to drop some of these into the case gauge. And they don't go all the way down to the case gauge like bullets that don't have that funny scratch marks on the neck.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what's going on there?
I have no idea. Just brass that didn't get processed correctly.
Maybe, yeah.
Got mixed in with my processed brass and got reloaded. So I'm going through an entire can of, it was a can and a quarter of 5.5 or 223 that I loaded and sorting them all one at a time. It's a good excuse to get them on stripper clips.
Yep.
And everything I find that has scratches on the neck gets thrown into the practice ammo pile. So
yeah, speaking of stripper clips, that was a cue for you to give Fred another shot.
Oh, Thank you. Yeah, the stripper clips that I'm loading the ammo on came from Fred. a very generous guy. Let's see. Okay, he brought me a bag full of stripper clips. I asked him to pick me up a pound of powder, and I told him I was looking for. He said they had auto comp at a store. I'm like, I don't really need auto comp. And I was like, wait a second, you can use auto comp in an open gun. I might try it, see if it's a better recipe than what I'm using now. What the heck, pick it up. I said, also, I'm looking for H110. He said, well, they don't have it at the store, but I have a pound that I made like 40 rounds of ammo out of. I'm like, great, I'll buy that too. So he gives me the stripper clips. He gives me the pound of H110. And then the last fixes my AR. And the last shout out I'll save to the end, because right. The last one is just above and beyond. What else did I do? Oh, I loaded some more ammo for my open gun. There's a match on Saturday in the Miramichi, and I'm going to try shooting my open. I shot my open gun last night. What did I change? I noticed the gun wasn't. I was getting stovepipes after the Nova Scotia Provincials, and the only thing I changed after the Nova Scotia Provincials was the screws for the sight mount. I tightened them down again and secured them with red Loctite. And I noticed they're a little longer than what was in the old scope mount. And there's actually wear on the slide in the bluing where the slide was making contact with the screws. So it's possible that it was hitting the screws and slowing down the cyclic rate enough to cause the malfunction. So I took all the screws out, grinded them down, and reinstalled them with red Loctite.
Grinded them. Yes, that's right. You grinded them.
Yes, Captain Grammar. Kiss my... So I went out and shot the gun last night. And I had two stovepipes with the factory extractor. I came home, took another screw out, grinded it some more, and reinstalled the Aftec extractor with a set of fresh springs. And I was going to go to the range and test it today, but I was sick as a dog and stayed home. So I'm bailing on the staff party potluck tomorrow so I can go to the range. They're just going to have to get their chicken tetrazzini somewhere else because I'm going to practice. And then go to the match on Saturday.
You guys got a staff party already?
Yeah. First one of the year, you know, the welcome back staff party.
Interesting.
It's Northern New Brunswick, man. Any excuse to drink. Staff party in the September, staff party at Christmas.
It's Saturday. That's a good one.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
The principal's not in the staff room. All right.
That'll work.
Yeah. So anyway,
aren't you the principal?
Principal of the high school.
Okay.
I'm the coordinator of the learning center, which is the learning center for the high school. So I run my little school. She runs her medium-sized school. So, what else? That's it, I guess. Yeah. Owen, are you with us?
Well, he was talking to me via chat here a second ago. I don't see him online yet, so.
Oh, he was online, and then somebody changed his,
No, that's what I was chatting with him just in the show notes, and, he wasn't actually on Skype, though.
Oh, my notification popped up then.
Yeah, I tried calling him, but he didn't answer. So I'm trying again now, but I'll go ahead and...
Matthew, what did you do?
Yeah,
Oh, I did some of that, too. I did that yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah.
We don't need to tell listeners, right? As long as we know what we're talking about, we can just carry on.
Well, when you say what you did, they'll go, oh, Trevor did that, too.
Oh, right,
I just didn't want to say it, because it's your thing to say.
Right, yeah, so I stopped showering. See, now you did it too.
Way before you.
Oh, that's hilarious. No, I got out and shot some Tannerite this afternoon. Press Jack Ventures has their order in. It's not available for sale yet, but apparently I know someone who can get it. So anyway, product development and testing, I believe, is how we're phrasing this. So out to the gravel pit I went with my Savage Axis in 223 and... actually, there is a YouTube video of it already on my channel, and it's on the Slamfire Facebook page, too. So go over and check it out. Tannerite is fun.
Question.
Yeah.
Was it you that said you're not allowed to detonate more than a pound at a time?
I believe I said that, yes. I don't know if I'm right, but that's...
But I said it.
That's sort of the idea that I've gotten from the research that I've done on the Canadian side of things, is 1 pound seems to be the maximum size limit. So,
I'm calling BS.
Okay. Well, I got that off of a government website, so you can take that however you like.
Yep. One thing, though, apparently, and maybe you can confirm this, I've also heard that once it's been mixed, you're no longer allowed to transport it.
That is also correct. That's right, because it's no longer the other one
we're not sure of.
Right. Well, that one's common sense. And it's, now it's no longer a binary, now it's actually an explosive as opposed to the ingredients for an explosive. It's classed as an S2, which is a low a low hazard explosive, but still it's classed as an explosive. Yeah. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say 95% sure that the maximum target size in Canada is 1 pound.
Got to find that somewhere.
Yeah, if I find the link, I'll send it to you. But you can, you know.
So what's PressTech Ventures' price going to be on this stuff? And it's going to be sold by the pound or the half pound?
On the website. We are selling it by the case, by the quarter pound, by the half pound, by the pound, and by the combo pack. So prices range anywhere from about $8 to $100, depending on how much you want to get. It averages out to about $10 a pound.
Okay.
Shut up and take my money.
Yeah, I know. Eh? So it is on the website. The prices are there. It's just not ready to ship yet because we need to line up our courier service.
That was my next question. What's the story on shipping? Will Canada Post ship it?
They will not.
So even though it's just innate.
That's right. Yeah, it's not, you know, when it's not mixed, you can't, you know, it doesn't matter what you do to it, it will not ignite.
That's right. You eat it, whatever. It's all good.
Yeah, do whatever you want. Well, if you want to eat it, you can. I don't recommend it.
Tastes fine.
Yeah. Had it for cereal this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It was delicious.
It's good in your coffee.
Mmm.
Poppy.
All right. Well, Owen's not here in time, so we're just going to bypass him for now. Whenever he joins us, if he joins us, we'll have him tell us what he did with guns. Although I see in the notes there, it says nothing. So maybe we'll just join him and he'll add quietly to the conversation. So upcoming events, Thunderbird Tactical Carbine Clinic. That's coming up October 11th. There is one spot available.
Filthy, I thought you had a guy.
I do, but his phone's disconnected. He moved, so I've got
to go. Well, then he can't afford the class.
Yeah, if he can't afford a phone, he can't afford the class. Yeah. By the way, the group rate, the funds have been paid for the 13 who have signed up, so the plane ticket is being purchased, and he will be here, you know, for sure. The last spot that is available is still available. We can still, you know, send your funds off after the fact, but... We're still looking for one more person if they want to come. So you're more than welcome to if you're feeling the itch to get out and learn to run your carbine a little bit better.
And if you think the problem is that it's Thanksgiving weekend, just celebrate the American Thanksgiving this year.
That's right.
Come on.
Yeah, that's what Daniel's doing.
That's right. Now, we were going to hold Mark and I were talking yesterday, and we're trying to figure out if we're going to have one more IPSC match at our range or not for the season. And we thought, hey, we put a match on in conjunction with the Tommy Clinic. Why don't we put a match on in conjunction with the Shaw Clinic and invite everybody, including Daniel, to shoot a match with us on Sunday?
That'd be really fun.
Only it's Thanksgiving. So.
Yeah, no, I don't see the problem here.
Neither do I.
We're going to celebrate American Thanksgiving because Daniel's here.
That's what I thought.
But no, huh?
I don't know.
Do we go for it?
I don't know. Give me a day or two and...
Well, I think the people who drive, you know, across the country to, because there are some who are doing that, to come to this clinic, I bet you they would stay another day and shoot a match the next day. And that's all. But I don't know.
So listeners who are listening and taking the Shaw Clinic.
As opposed to listeners who aren't listening.
That's right.
Right.
Because it's live. it's live to me because I'm here.
Right.
Anyway, if you're attending the clinic and you want to shoot a match the next day, IPSC style match, because you may or may not have a black badge. Let us know. Andy, if you want to borrow an STI as opposed to that para thing you have, that's cool. I will hook you up.
That's obviously an inside story there. So, Andy, good job, bud. Thanks for Trevor.
Andy's a listener. He writes the show all the time. He shoots a double stack para out in Nova Scotia. He's the guy who doesn't shoot IPSC much in the summer because he goes sailing. That Andy?
Right.
The Andy who wrote this show thinking he was writing Action Shooting Radio, that Andy.
Oh, that one. Yes, I did read that email going, my name's not Mo at all. That's not funny? How you spell Matthew. That's Mo.
I told your version of, you know, I explained about your situation with the contacts and the Coke bottle glasses and
right.
Just wearing contacts all the time with regular eye protection. It works fine for you.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
And then I even used the word, I'm paying him out, as people would say in Australia.
Right.
And that's only one word, apparently.
Oh, well, who knew? I picked up a hitchhiker the other day who was from Australia, who played the guitar, but didn't know Steve Lee, yes, unfortunately.
What?
I know, eh? I thought he was famous, whatever. Guess not.
Did you call Owen?
I did. He's on the line. Hi, Owen. Welcome to the show.
Gentlemen.
For September 19th, 2014. I don't know why I said that. How are you?
I am enjoying possibly one of the most wonderful combinations. Taste
bacon,
combinations in the world.
Bacon and cheese.
Bacon and no. bacon.
French fries and gravy with cheese and bacon.
Beer-flavored bacon.
Ooh, bacon-flavored bacon.
No, it doesn't even involve bacon.
then you're wrong. I'm sorry. Yep, done. Well, and thanks for joining us, Owen. We'll see you next week.
Strongbow cider and pistachios.
Ooh.
I'm in. Oh.
This pistachios would kill me. I used to enjoy them very much. Strongbow cider. I've had it. I'm not a fan, I gotta tell you. It's too...
Trevor likes the weak bow stuff much better.
It's too cidery.
Yeah, well, I like cider, generally.
I like real cider.
I like guns.
I like all kinds of ciders, but something about it with the salted pistachios, oh, it's really good.
Okay, now I'm hungry.
Sounds great on the microphone,
Yeah,
too.
I was just going to say, you should mute your mic when you're crunching those things. Well, while you're crunching away, did you do anything with guns this week?
Nope.
All right, good enough, because we're way past that segment.
Oh, yeah, no, I I did, right. but not for the show.
Right, okay, gotcha. Very good. So yeah, we're into upcoming events, and we're actually done that, so we're going to go into our main topic. All right, so this week we are talking about the three-gun that took place this past weekend here at Restigouche County, and what a three-gun it was. Trevor, I want to start off by saying, good job, man.
I want to start off by saying it was a multi-gun.
Okay, whatever. They're worth... How many is multi? Three?
Cause... Multi-gun is... There's a difference between multi-gun and three-gun. Three-gun is when you have a match that uses three guns. Multi-gun is when you have a match that uses all three guns in one stage, and you transition between them.
Okay, well, it was still a good three-gun match.
Sorry, you were saying?
That's it. I was going to compliment you on how well you put it on, but I'm done with that.
I'd rather just take a shot than, take a compliment.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
No, it, thank you. It was pretty easy, really. I had the boys stepped up and got out. And helped. I mean, of course, like every other year, we just reuse SummerSlam stages and couple that we built one or two maybe specific for the match. But for the most part, it's easy to pull off because we're reusing SummerSlam stages and just changing up some steel and some target placement and target type. And then, you get Harold on the range to fix anything that goes wrong and Chris Kingston there to act as match director and somebody for stats. So, yeah, it goes off pretty easily when you've got help.
Good. Well, hey, it did go off pretty good, and I like the stages, and I like the match overall. So, well, I mean, yeah, 9 stages in a day is long, but I think it's doable with just slightly smaller squad sizes. We were 9 in one squad and 10 in the other, and I think if we had three squads of, 6 or 7 instead.
Well, I was going to do 3 squads.
Yeah.
I was going to do 3 squads, and then I consulted with somebody who's got more experience than me, and his logic was 2 squads
means more people
will
working.
Give you more guys working, yeah, and you should get through faster. But it doesn't
work that way because what happens is you get the same 3 people doing all the work, and everybody else just sits in the back anyway. So if you have 3 squads, then at least you have 9 people doing all the work, 3 from each squad, as opposed to just 6 doing all the work. But anyway, I think as long as your squad is 6 or bigger, I think it's fine. I don't think you need to. I think it would have gone a little faster if there were, it would have been 3 people shooting at a time instead of 2.
Well, I would
my
think
observation
with that,
on that,
with that
was okay. Go ahead. On.
I would think with that kind of a match, the kind of people that are shooting a match like that are generally more experienced anyway. They're more serious shooters. No, but I mean they're a little more serious about it. I would think.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe not. So I'm just thinking that would then lend itself to smaller squads because they would know what needs to be done, and you're not just getting a bunch of maybe new people that just show up to shoot and aren't really interested in helping.
Right.
But I could be wrong. So.
Well, either way, the day did get done, and it wasn't that much later than last year. I think it went an extra hour. Than last year, and the day still got done with plenty of daylight left,
maybe,
so it was still all right.
And what I noticed was not that people weren't working, not that people weren't patching and resetting. The guy who was up wasn't ready. We were forever. I felt like, and you guys jump in, Owen and or Matthew and Filthy. I felt like we were forever chasing the guy to get ready and get in position to shoot next.
Right, and I think
that guy wasn't ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think you're going to feel that anyway in a three-gun match or a multi-gun match because it always will take longer for that guy to be ready. We're used to just stepping up to the line, load and make ready, and you're ready to go. Even if the guy is ready, it still feels like it's longer because you've got to stage each gun.
Yeah, but if he's standing in the box ready to go while we're patching.
Yeah, it's true.
We're done patching and then we're chasing him. Everything, the stage is set. And we're standing around waiting for him to get his guns and come to the line.
And I think what we could have done to help with that is let people know that it's okay to handle their long guns and go stand in the box and wait. Because I think a lot of people were a little apprehensive, like, what are the rules on that? You know, they're thinking to themselves, am I allowed to grab my gun or do I have to wait for the RO to say I can go get my gun? And, yeah. You know, I think maybe we could have said, guys, when it's your turn, you can go get your guns, keep a muzzle up, stand in the box and wait for the RO.
Yeah.
Do a mental run through, get ready.
We did say that a couple of times. It was like, you should be ready, you should be in the box. You should be ready, you should be in the box.
Did you feel like it got more efficient the longer the day went?
No. I was trying to push in the beginning, and then I backed off and felt like it just stayed slow all day.
Yeah. Okay. Most matches that I've been involved in feel like they get slower the longer they go.
Yeah.
At the beginning, everybody's alert, everybody's keen, everybody's paying attention, and then as the day drags on, people get lazy, and they just forget, and they just don't bother, you know, being Johnny on the spot as they could be.
I feel the same way.
And I was overdoing it at first. I was like, you know, okay, guys, let's go, let's go. This conversation's not necessary. Let's go, let's go. And then it was like, well, it's too much, and I'm ruining people's good time. People need to be ready, but people don't need to be barked at either, you know? So I kind of then went, all right, I'm going to back off. But then I backed off too much and then just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, either way, I mean, it was a day that went, and it went, you know, despite that, it still went fairly smoothly. The one thing that impressed me was the number of reshoots that we didn't have. Everything worked well. There were a couple, but for the most part, all the range equipment worked properly and, you know, as it should have, because most of those stages were from SummerSlam. The bugs were already worked out of them, so it did work well that way.
Yeah, and you guys stepped right up while I was talking to the range master, getting a ruling on something. You guys were fixing the problem. I came out, and normally, like, I lose my mind. You guys change something. You're not supposed to change anything, but it was something that had to be done with the plate rack, and then the problem was fixed. You guys found that the plate rack was leaning back, and we were going to have reshoots all day or toss the stage, so you were able to step in, identify the problem, and fix it, and then boom, there was no more reshoots after that.
That's right. It worked out well.
So that was awesome. Yeah. So, okay, what are we going to do? We're going to talk about talk about the results.
Well, why don't we? Okay, yeah, sure.
Or what did you have in mind?
Nothing. I was just going to say, why don't we just go around and each of us start with Filthy and just kind of give impressions of how you thought the day went and how you enjoyed it kind of thing. Just, you know, Filthy's kind of new to this.
Yeah. Well, let's get the results out of the way in case people are wondering how we did and who won and stuff like that. And then we'll do that around the table. How's that sound?
Yeah, sure. Do you do top three each division?
Sure. In standard, we had a change in positions from last year. Last year, I don't know about third, but this year in standard, John Griffin took third place. And I love first and second because first and second were shooting essentially the same rifle. Last year, John Camforce won. He had first, and Pierre-Luc Boudreau had second. This year, they and Pierre-Luc was first, and they take their standard division rifles quite seriously. They actually ran old school Colt SP-01s. You know, the carry handle, one piece upper right with carry handle. There's no flat top on this thing. No forward assist.
So like Vietnam War era kind of gun.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So anyway, it's kind of interesting. So this year, Pierre-Luc got first and John was 93.14 of Pierre-Luc, and John Griffin was 92% of Pierre-Luc. Now, for those that don't know, John Griffin's 108 years old.
109 this year. 109.
Is it 109 this year? Yeah. So
it's funny. I met him, I don't know how many years ago now, but I had some old, or not some old, I had some 9x23 millimeter ammunition. And I had it for that old antique pistol I had that was labeled 9x23, but apparently there's two 9x23 calibers, and I got the wrong one. Yeah. Anyway, he bought the ammo off me, and I met him down in St. John. I didn't know him from, you know, anybody, just some guy on CGN, and I showed up at his place to do the exchange, and we chatted for about an hour the first time I met him. It was just so darn interesting. He's got so many stories. It was great. But, yeah, and then to come to find out he's an Ipswich shooter, and I see him just about every time I go to a match, so it's great. He's a cool guy.
he shoots either a revolver or a Beretta 92F, and it looks like one of the originals, like one of the first runs, and the gun won't die. I mean, and it won't malfunction. Dirty, filthy, shooting lead projectiles out of it, black smoke everywhere.
You can always tell where John is because there's a great big puff of smoke every time he lights the gun off.
Never seen that gun malfunction. Yeah, so then over to the open division. We had 13 guys in open, so we had more guys shooting open, and that kind of makes sense because the way we run the rules, we only do two categories, standard. It's what Chris Rakowski would refer to as an outlaw multi-gun or an outlaw three-gun. We're not necessarily shooting a sanctioned IPSC match, and we're not shooting 100% USPSA rules. It's closer to USPSA, but anyway, it's not officially either one. And so we run two categories, open and standard. And the way we determine whether or not you're in open is if you have one optic on one gun, you're in open for all three guns. You can't have, you know, we're not running a shotgun match and a rifle match and a pistol match. So you can't be standard in shotgun and open in rifle. It's just one match, two divisions, open and standard. And so if guys showed up with an optic on their AR and nothing on their pistol or their shotgun, well, they ended up in open, which is what a lot of us actually, what that was the case for most of us.
Well, a lot of people have a red dot in their AR, and so that's why they're in open. So
in third place was Muffin. Second place was me, and first place was George.
Yeah, I think this is George's third year winning it?
No, I thought it was too. It's actually Mo won the first year.
Oh, right, that's right. I missed Mo the first year by like 0.5% or something. I remember, and I lost it because somebody loaned me some ammo.
I can tell you exactly.
Yeah, actually it wasn't. Yeah, I know it was a bit more than that because I remember doing the math and it turned out that I would have missed first place by about 0.5% had I not had that bad ammo. So,
right.
Anyway.
No, I don't have the results from that. I do. Overall results, 3-gun 2012, it was, 0.5%. You were 96 of his 100.
Right, okay, so 4%. But yeah, no, like I said, once I watched the video and I did the math by counting how long the malfunction took me to clear, and had I not had that malfunction, I would have been within 0.5% of his score.
Right.
So I almost beat Mo the first year had somebody not given me some really cool, awesome ammo. Thanks, Trev.
No problem, bud. Same ammo I ran, but, you know, whatever.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, it was. And remember all the malfunctions you had, too, in yours?
Yeah, and yet still you took the ammo. So here's the thing. Start to bring enough ammo, right?
Oh, no, I had lots of... Yeah,
and that's right. And the second year, you ran out of ammo on the bus stage, and I was dumb enough to give you some off my belt.
Yeah, that's nice of you.
Yeah, you keep running into little issues like that, but not this year. This year, you ran your own gun for the whole match, and nobody gave you ammo during a stage.
No, and I didn't run out either.
And you finished fourth.
Yeah, I did. Now, here's my thoughts on that, and just to be clear, I'm not complaining, and I'm not whining. It may sound like it at some points.
Right now, actually.
These are observations that I came up with, and you do need a 9-round shotgun. Mm-hmm. And at least 10-round pistol mags for your AR to be competitive. Flat out. You just can't.
That's right.
You can't win against a 9-round semi-auto shotgun if you've got a 6-round pump-action shotgun.
No, you're burning up way too much time in the reloads.
I looked through, and every stage with less than steel targets, I won.
Interesting.
If there is the ones that have no steel, I didn't count because there was the maze, and that didn't count because there was no stealing in it at all. But any shotgun stages with less than steel targets, I won them.
Okay, you won.
The first one and the second one; those were the only two with six stages or less than six targets.
You won the house.
Yeah, and I won the truck, the transports.
Yeah, maximum overdrive.
Yeah, so every stage that had more, I had to reload, and you didn't, and that makes a huge difference. I did the rack in 17 seconds. Which I thought was pretty good, but somebody who didn't have to reload could do it. Well, you did it in 9, right?
Yeah.
The next day, and other people were doing it in about 11. So, you know, when you don't have to reload it, that makes a big difference. So now here's the other thing that's interesting is this year there were only two stages with steel that had less than six targets. And last year there were all kinds of them with less than six targets. But as soon as Trevor got a 9-round semi-auto shotgun, all of a sudden, there's all kinds of stages with more than 8 shots.
Well, I was told by George, I sent my stages to George so that he could vet them, and he said, there's not a lot of shotgun. So, okay, I'll fix it.
Yeah, but by adding, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, it was kind of funny to see that because, you know, you if you're designing, and like I said, I'm not complaining, I'm not whining. You design the stages, you design the match, you have the right to design it any way you want to, and you want to design it around your gear, that's great. That's the best gear you can get. Do it. Because IPSC isn't rally car racing or stock car racing. IPSC is Formula One, and in Formula One, the team with the most money wins. It's you have to have the best gear if you want to be if you want to have your best chance of winning. Okay. And I'm not saying that the gear makes you a better shooter. You have to be a good shooter with the best gear to win.
You got it. You could have given my semi-auto shotgun to Filthy, and it wouldn't have mattered.
No, but offense, you give me your semi-auto shotgun, and then all of a sudden we're a bit more
backed
tied.
On, yeah, now we got a competition going again. Yeah.
Right. So it's about how much can you spend on it, and that's great. That's fine, you know. I remember you saying to me, I thought you said that's all the shotgun you needed, and I remember coming back with, it is all the shotgun I need. I don't need to do this. This is for fun.
No, but when you said you were going to kick my ass, you said you were going to kick my ass because with that shotgun, because that was all the shotgun you needed to kick my ass.
Oh, I see. If I said it that way, then yeah, I was wrong.
But yeah,
clearly.
Go back and listen.
I believe you. I'm fine with that.
All right. But. So George won, and I got second, and Muffin got third. And let's go around and what we liked, what we didn't like. That you did your thing.
Yeah, Phil, I'm good. So
let's hear from you, Phil.
Okay. So I came in last place in 2012, which is not unexpected since it's the first time I've ever done anything like that. And I said to myself I was going to be better prepared because I was not at all prepared. I didn't have a carriage, and I didn't know where to put mags even.
And I'm going to interrupt you because I have to, because that's what I do. It's my job. It's in my contract.
I understand.
But I have to give a huge shout out to Craig Furon for my tactical stroller.
Farron.
Okay. Fair enough. See what I did there? Ah! So, yeah, Craig, awesome dude. It made such a huge difference. You know, not having to cart everything around, just stick it in that thing and go. Oh, mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed pulling it while you were driving your Jeep.
I really enjoyed driving my Jeep. Well, hey, I really enjoyed having that on the 100-yard stage, driving up and down to score as opposed to running up and down to score.
Had to be done.
Until somebody broke your sideboard?
Yeah, until somebody jumped on my running board and broke it. That was fun.
I wouldn't say jumped. I would say stepped on.
No, it was jumped.
It was jumped?
Because it was stepped on several times before it was jumped on, and it worked just fine. And then the one time it got jumped on, it actually broke. I watched it break when he jumped on it.
Oh, there you go.
So, anyway, whatever. It's fine. It's okay. Don't feel bad. You know who you are.
Nobody
You're listening.
Does. Trust me.
Yeah, I know. Don't worry about it. It's
They're fine. Not worried about it.
Good enough. Carry on. Sorry,
so you were
Phil.
Saying,
so
Phil.
Jump
oh,
back.
No worries. I listen to the show.
Yeah, you understand what's going on here.
Yeah.
Filthy, let me just say, before you continue,
yep.
The first year you shot, you say you finished last, but you finished. We had three DQs the first year, all of them black badge graduates. You guys have never taken a black badge, but still were able
I
to.
I did.
Oh,
I took
you
my black
That's
badge
right.
in 1988. I don't know if that counts or not.
Right. Years and years. And years. You know
doesn't
what I was
count
doing?
Anymore. No.
Do you know what
yeah,
I was
no,
doing
I know.
In 1988?
I was being 10. I was being 10 years old.
Yeah, I was like in grade.
Yeah, I was 6.
5 or something. But anyway, carry on.
So to better prepare for this year, I gained 20 pounds and I lost my AR mag pouches. How's that?
Wow, how'd Seriously. That work out for you?
Well, it worked out good for you since I bought a mag and a mag pouch off you.
Yes, you did.
And my wife found my mag pouches in the recycling on Sunday. Stayed up till about 1:30 in the morning on Thursday night looking for them. Couldn't find them anywhere. And I bought a better shotgun. Last year I had a ancient Mossberg that was plugged to 3 shots. And I had no idea even how to take the plug out. This year I had a 590 A1, 9 shots. That was fun.
Oh, was last year your first year?
Yes.
Okay, you didn't shoot the first year. Okay.
Last year I shot with an AR that had a MOA of 12. And this year I shot with a one that had an MOA of about half an inch. Although Jason came in third place with that rifle. Remember that?
Right. Yeah.
And as soon as I turned the optic on, for him to borrow it, it died. I had a Bushnell Hollow sight on it and just down. So we had to borrow an optic off of George McKillop. He had it on a shotgun. They sighted it in real quick and dirty, and he used it the whole day and came in third place with that thing.
Well, in fairness, he didn't use it on the 100-meter range.
No, that's true.
He did. He pulled a Matthew and swapped out for that stage.
Whatever. Look, this is a fun match,
exactly.
And I'm not going to – I mean, obviously, I'm not going to because I did it myself last year. But even if I hadn't, I'm not faulting anybody for doing
right.
anything
you
to get through the
perform.
Match.
That's right. You still got to perform.
This is a fun – it's a fun match.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
It's no, there's
Pat,
no money in the line here.
Pat used that – Pat used my rifle too, and it didn't help him any.
No.
I want to talk about that 100-meter stage for a second. And then
yeah, go for
back
it.
To you, Filthy.
Yeah.
George McCullough, he kills people for a living. Can I say that? Sure, why not?
You did, so there
and
you go.
He is a rifle shooter, no question. He won that 100-meter rifle stage. I got second. He beat my time by 8 seconds and had 4 extra points. 8 seconds in an IPSC stage is huge.
Yes, it is.
So not only was he 8 seconds faster, he had 4 more points than I did.
That's crazy. That guy is a machine when it comes to shooting rifles.
He wasn't using an 18-inch barrel. He wasn't using a 4-power scope. He had an L can that was 1-4. And, well, it's an L can. But, you know, they train on
that's
L-can,
a nice
you know?
L can, though. That's yeah, the same one Bolivar has on his. It's a $2,000 1-4 power.
Exactly.
Crazy. Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
I just don't have $2,000 to drop on one.
Exactly. Carry on, Philly.
Okay. So this year I brought a baby carriage. Oh, last year I didn't have anything to eat all day. When you guys
yeah,
were
yeah, because I remember somebody talking about having food at the range, and then there wasn't. I remember Trevor
yeah.
doing that.
No, there was. There was burgers, but somehow I missed lunch, so I was starving all day.
Yep.
This time
yep.
we
South Coke last year.
Oh,
this year
right.
I announced
yeah,
that there wouldn't be.
I had to do something because I was so disorganized, so I didn't get over to eat. But those turtle burgers were some good.
Oh yeah,
yeah. This year I forgot to turn my optic on for one stage, so I got out and started shooting rifle with no optic on. That was fun. Yeah. What else? You know what? If you're an old guy who's into shooting, you really need to have a young guy as a sidekick to make him run and get stuff. That is golden.
Wasn't that
Fred,
great?
Fred,
you need another shout out for that.
I love Fred.
Fred the gopher,
so much.
Go for this, go for that.
Yeah.
I'm adopting him. He's only 22. I'm 50. He can be my son.
Absolutely.
There's no reason why not.
Well, there's all kinds of reasons why not, but whatever. We'll go
okay.
with it.
All right, we'll go with that. Penalty targets. Guys, penalty targets. It's ridiculous. I'm a stormtrooper. We don't care if we hit innocent people. Why do we care about penalty targets? They've got to go. That's my only complaint.
All right.
Yeah, well, you're not used to shooting the white guys either.
That's true.
Yeah, you are the white guy.
I am, yeah.
Awesome. Anything else, Phil?
No,
favorite
I can't
stage,
really.
Least favorite stage?
Oh, favorite stage, tanks. I love tanks.
Me too.
Yep.
That
Those
was a
props
fun stage.
You guys have are phenomenal.
Yeah, and I loved how I shot that one. Grabbed, pulled one handle, grabbed the AR, pulled the other handle before I started shooting the AR, and then dumped the AR in the same barrel the shotgun was in. I saved, God, I don't know how many seconds.
Maybe one.
Oh, well, it was enough to win the stage.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying you didn't. I just don't think there was that much time lost if you used the barrel beside the second tank, not went back to the barrel in the first tank.
Yeah, no, there was no point in putting a rifle anywhere except for where the shotgun was, because you're going there. Why go somewhere else first when you don't have to?
Well, the second barrel isn't out of your way, though. It's right in front of you when you're shooting the rifle targets.
You still have to stop and put it in and then turn and go to the shotgun. Go to the shotgun and drop the rifle.
I suppose. I just was concerned with...
Scratching
dropping? No, no, not scratching. Goodness, no. I was concerned with dropping my rifle on top of the shotgun and then trying to get my shotgun out of there and like accidentally pull the AR out too and drop it.
The solution was to not do that.
Well, obviously, but I didn't have a chance to practice that because we're not allowed to have our guns on the thing when we're doing our walkthrough. So
nobody had a chance to practice that.
I know. I'm just saying. I just didn't want to risk it. Trying to be safe. That's all. So yeah, Owen, how do you like the match?
It was great. Yeah. I mean, it was fabulous. I really enjoyed it since I spent
you know what,
the entire
Owen?
Day crawling around in the crawl space of a house an hour away from me.
Fun. You know what didn't happen because you weren't there?
No targets were stabbed?
You got it.
No targets were stabbed.
Fred could have.
Yeah.
Fred could have decapitated a target with that thing.
crazy.
I'm looking for the results of the... Tank stage, Wolverine.
Right. No, it was overall though, Trev. It was a good match. I enjoyed it. There was lots of variation. I would have
What was your favorite?
My favorite, it's a house. It's always a house.
Yeah.
I can't not favorite the house. It's just so much fun. And the way you had it set up this year was just fantastic. I watched my video of me shooting it, and I had to go back and check because the one target right at the foot of the bed, when I watched it the first time, I wasn't really paying that close attention. I'm like, I only shot that once. And I went back and watched. That was a double tap.
Yeah.
It was a ba-ba.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I mean, your score on the house, yeah, you got to reshoot because, yeah, the arrow did the same mistake for you. And then I was accused of creating an arrow trap in that stage. No.
No, the arrow just was in the wrong spot. It wasn't an arrow trap. He was just the wrong spot.
Stand back and let the shooter go.
Yeah.
So what happened, Owen, I don't know if you heard the story yet or not, Owen, but the arrow's in the corner at the top of the stairs and the shooter's shooting his shotgun through the port on the plates. And then when he dumps his shotgun, the arrow went down the stairs and then the shooter's stuck behind the arrow.
And as you know, I move faster than the arrow most of the time.
Oh, yeah. So that's interference. You don't actually have to touch the shooter to necessarily interfere with them, right?
Yep.
So Matthew went to see the range master and he said, absolutely, have a reshoot. So then the second time, the arrow stood back and let Matthew go down the stairs first. He almost fell when he got to the bottom.
Yeah, I still got splinters in my hand from catching myself.
And then he fumbles his, you got to load the gun. Your pistol's at the bottom of the stairs, drops the mag, bends down, picks up the mag, loads the gun, shoots, and still beats the next guy by, wait for it. His time was 27:35 and second place was 29:86.
So like 2 seconds.
And third place was 35.
I think that stage took me a half an hour.
Well, but filthy, there were a possible 105 stage points and you got 105 stage points.
You got them all.
Yeah, you got all alpha on everything. Yes, your time was 62:63. However,
You got all your hits.
You got all, not only did you get all your hits, you got all your points.
Yep.
So nobody else did that. Yeah. So Matthew, you were 4 points lower than George, but those 2 seconds were worth more than 4 points.
Right. So now
on
we know.
On a big stage, on a big stage, time is,
time makes a big difference. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the bus.
The bus was fun. I would have enjoyed the bus more if I had had, a 14-shot shotgun.
Well, you say that, but George or Steven didn't have a 9-shot shotgun, and Steven, George was 27:48. I was 36:33. Steven was 35:50.
I don't know how he does that.
He's a freak.
I guess. I just don't know how you get the shells back in your gun that quick. I can't load my shotgun that quickly.
I didn't see him shooting with carriers or any kind of crazy,
Yeah.
So, but Filthy, back to your results. You were talking about, how you finished last year. Well, this year you beat 3 guys, and all of which are very active IPSC shooters, like Richard Telesnicki shoots out of the Hampton Club often. Justin Edmonds, he shoots all over the place all the time. He shot all the biggest matches this year, the Hampton 250. He even went to the Nova Scotia Provincials. He shot SummerSlam. He shot the New Brunswick Provincials. You beat him. I don't know what happened to Luke Giroux. Apparently, he did bang his switch. I don't know. last place, yeah. So,
Oh, well.
Yeah.
What I had was a ton of fun. That's all that matters. I wouldn't care how I placed.
Mm.
Well, and that's the thing. It is fun, and it's to get out there and to be running all your guns on the same stage at the same time. Just it was phenomenal. I guess the truck stage was a lot of fun too, and running up the ramp and shooting while you're running up.
I wish that would have worked for me.
Yeah.
Did it work for you?
Well, no, actually, it didn't, because I ran up the ramp and I shot once and missed, and then when I got to the top, I shot 2 more times and then knocked him over and then kept going.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't do that as smoothly as I could have. I could have saved probably another 3 or 4 seconds in the trucks. I just did it wrong.
Thank God for 9 rounds, because I stood in the box and I said to myself, shoot one from the box, and if you get it, shoot the other one. I didn't get the first one, and then I shot anyway. The second one, missed that, ran up the ramp, missed again. And so 1, 2, 3, it took me 4 shots to get 2 plates.
Right.
And, I would have been on it. I would have had to do a mag change to get the rest of the plates out of the first, or then there was a plate out the end of the trailer.
Yep. And then 2 plates. More at the port.
Yeah. And I was supposed to drop my shotgun in the barrel where my rifle was. I didn't.
You threw it in the other one.
Yeah. So that cost me time. And yeah, if you had done your plan the way that you had discussed with the port. You were, yes, okay, so you get to the last port, and if you would have shot those two targets first and then went down to the port, shot the targets out the port to the back of the range, and then simply brought your muzzle over and shot the ones at the back without standing up again, you would have saved some time. So
we would have saved some more there too, yeah.
Yeah, because you shot, you went down and then up.
And then down.
And then down, yeah.
Yeah, I did it wrong. I ran to the place where I could see all the targets and went, these are the ones I see first, so I'm shooting them. And yeah, that's what I did. I just shot what I saw and then just, you know, went dynamic on it as opposed to what the plan was. And I find that happens a lot in Nipsic anyway. Your plan, I think a really experienced shooter can stick to his plan, and yep, I think that's why the experienced shooters do better, because they stick to their plan, they don't get flustered, and, you know, if something goes wrong, they just fix it and keep going.
They're able to not shoot at something they see first, where we run in there, it's like, there's a target, shoot it.
Yeah, shoot it, yep. Yeah. And actually, the opposite happened in the maze for me. I ran in to, there's a spot where you have to kind of go down, and there's a couple targets at the back. Well, the spot I ended up standing, and there was a spot that I had picked out where I could see three targets. It was one shooting position for three targets, which, you know, as I understand it, that's how you're supposed to do it. Shoot as many as you can from one spot. Well, where I ended up during, not during the walkthrough, but during the actual run, there was a pole between me and a target. And I was sitting there and I shot and I went to shoot that other target that I knew was there, and it wasn't there because it was behind the pole and it was completely hidden, and I just kind of froze. I'm like, I thought there was a target
to be a
there.
Target. Yeah.
I guess there's not. They must have changed it. I'm going to have to yell at them after this matches, or after I'm done the stage. I'm not stopping. I'm going to keep going and finish it and then yell at somebody for moving the target. And as I take off running, I look over and there it is. I'm like, oh no, that's where it was. Dang it. Mm-hmm. So I finished my run. I went to the very end and I yelled at the RO just as I got to the last spot. I'm coming back. And he stepped out of the way and I tore back down the stage and ran around the corner and shot that one.
Yeah, well, so you still time-wise? Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. That's the thing. That's what kicked my, or kills me, because I still did it faster than other people who did it properly. Had I not wasted 10 seconds running back, I would have smoked that stage.
Let me give you the numbers here. Well, no, you wouldn't have, because you had too many mics, because you only had put 84 points.
That's right, I did.
There was a possible 120 stage points.
Yeah.
You did it in 47-47, but unfortunately you had some mics, so you were down to 84 points.
Yeah.
Fred got 119 out of a possible 120 points.
Yeah, I remember scoring that for him.
65-66 was his time, though.
Yep.
George had 108 points. I had 111 points. But George was 33-69. I was 35-55.
Yeah, so he got
again,
it.
You know, on a big stage,
time takes it.
He had 2 points, or two, you know, just under two full, just under 3 seconds was worth more than 111 points.
Yep. So you really have to know which stages to rush and which stages to really get your shots on.
I wonder what happened to Steven. Steven Stewart zeroed that stage.
Interesting.
He had a time of 71-17. He must have had some major malfunctions or something.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about I want to talk about two more stages. How are we doing for time?
About 5 minutes left.
Okay. So we had the stage that was in what we call Nick's Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 38th parallel at SummerSlam. It was a wall with all the holes. You shot the steel, and then the paper was exposed. And then I want to talk about the stage up on the hill with all the poppers. There was groups of three poppers, another group of three poppers, another group of three poppers, then one popper and two paper targets. So the way – Matthew and I were the only two guys in the squad to do this. This is an interesting one. You might want to check this out. You started off with your shotgun at the low ready in the center of the stage, heels on X's, and you ran to the left, and through a high port, you shot three poppers with your shotgun. Then you ran to the next, now you're going from left to right to the next port. It was a low port. You shot three poppers with your shotgun, and then you went to the next port, which was a high port, shot three with your shotgun. Well, now you're at, that's nine rounds. So for me, I'm starting to, I just threw one in the chamber and hit the bolt release. Went to the last low port where I had one steel and two paper. What most people did at this point was shot the popper, stood up, dropped their shotgun in the barrel, drew their pistol, went back down, shot the two paper. However, a gun is not abandoned if it's within a meter of you. So what Matthew and I did was, when we got down to that last port, we shot the popper, dropped the shotgun right in the port, drew the pistol, and shot the paper. That saved standing up and going down.
Yeah, I noticed that from the videos.
Fred did that too.
Some people weren't happy with us for that. And so we explained the rule. Your shotgun's not abandoned. It's within a meter of you. Fast forward over to the other stage, just off of the, right around the corner from the pistol camp, Nix Bay. This is how the stage was set up. You were sitting in the chair with your hands on the X's, just like SummerSlam. Unloaded on the table was your shotgun and your pistol. You had to obviously pick up the shotgun first because you didn't get to shoot at any of your paper targets until you shot all the steel targets, because the steel targets activated and exposed the paper targets. So what did you do with your shotgun after you were done shooting the steel? You just put it down on the table.
Yeah.
It's right in front of you. It's not even half a meter from you. Picked up your pistol, loaded it, and shot the paper. So my argument against people who complained about what we did up the hill was, what was the difference between what we did up the hill and what we did on that stage? And it was a shooter there who's a range master who went, yeah, I guess there is no difference. Well, good on you for thinking of it when the rest of us didn't.
So. Oh, well. Yeah, no, I think it was a good match. So next year, what are we doing?
Next year, we're actually going to have a sanctioned IPSC Grand Tournament. And an IPSC Grand Tournament is three stages of pistol, three stages of rifle, three stages of shotgun. I'm going to go after sanctioning. I'm hoping I can get level 3 sanctioning on it and maybe call it the 3-gun provincials. If I'm going to get level 3 sanctioning, I might as well make it a provincial championship at the same time, get presidents, medals, and do it up really legit.
That'd be cool.
I'm in.
Yep. Same here.
I'm out.
Why?
Because it then becomes more sport. It becomes more IPSC-y than I'm interested in doing shooting.
Fair enough.
You know, I shoot IPSC simply because it's something fun I can do with my pistol and put myself under some stress.
So what's the difference? This is fun with three instead of just a pistol. The timer's still there. So
I don't know, but as soon as I pull out the rifle or the shotgun, it's more about, I hate to say this, but quote unquote real life. You know, I want to be running my plate carrier and
all my
extra gear. And if I could, I would not be staging weapons. I'd be running stuff on me the way I would run it.
Yeah.
And I understand why you can't do that. You know, in a match with people that, you know, varying experience levels and equipment levels, I understand that.
I think it's still trigger time, though, and it's still shooting under stress, whether or not you have the rest of your gear on you or not. The very fact that you've got your rifle in your hand instead of your pistol, I mean, I still think it's shooting under stress, and I still think it's good practice.
You still have to, you know, employ the fundamentals.
It's not exactly the way we want it. We, like you said, we want to run it with plate carriers and guns slung, but at the same time, you know,
what's good of that if you don't ever get any practice pulling the trigger under stress? You still need to hit stuff whether you're wearing a plate carrier or not.
Yeah, I don't know what the I'm not sure I can articulate the difference. For me, I would go, oh, that would be fun with a pistol, and I would, like, I shot nationals 2 years ago, and I wasn't able to make it to SummerSlam, but this year, but I, you know, that sort of thing, I would go and shoot that with a pistol. But as soon as you say let's shoot it with a rifle, I'd be like, I don't know. It just doesn't interest me in the same way. I don't know if that's because rifles are more natural for me and it just doesn't seem like a challenge. I mean, I'm sure it would be a challenge. I'm sure I wouldn't do well, but
if you were winning everything, I'd say, okay, it's not a challenge, but.
Yeah. No, I know I'm, you know, I'm nothing special as far as shooting goes. I don't know.
Well, then don't turn up your nose at trigger time.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. I mean, I'm more than happy for people to do it, but it's not something that I would then go, oh, I'm definitely in on that.
You know, well, guys, what are the chances of us having smaller multi-gun matches all around the province?
Depends on the ranges and the people who are willing to organize it.
We're supposed to build a pistol bay at our range this year, finally, coming up. And I'm just wondering if we put a couple bays in, is it something that would be feasible there?
Oh, yeah. So why not? It's just getting questioned.
George is a part of our range, too.
Yeah. Yeah, how's that black badge coming along?
Yeah, they want to do it in the fall. A lot of young soldiers want to do it in the fall. And that's our audience there.
Excellent.
I mean, the plan was to have a sort of quasi IPSC Iron Man kind of three gun match at our range, but the range changes never happened this summer, so we weren't really able to do anything.
But it's on the agenda.
Oh, if we can get a range where it's possible to set it up and set up multiple stages, then yeah, we're definitely in on.
So if you could do it and we could do it, there's something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It would have to be small at our place, but it would still be fun.
You know, four stages is better than no stages.
Okay.
Yep. Especially if you make four stages super interesting.
Yep. like take for SummerSlam, for example. I already got a lot of work done on SummerSlam. I got the date picked. Already talking to Sean Hansen about the stages. A lot of logistical paperwork and templates and stuff behind the scenes already started. I already spent $2,200 on guns. The stages this year, guns for the prize table, by the way. We're not doing a welcome gift. We're putting that money into guns for the prize table. The stages this time, I'm going for quality over quantity. Not every short course needs to be 12 rounds. Not every medium course needs to be 24 rounds. When you're stacking targets just to get round count, no. Trying to make stuff realistic. The bus stage this year, we're turning the bus around again. You're being chased by bad guys. You got to shoot them out the windows. You got to shoot a popper. It's going to drop the ramp. And then you got to shoot, you know, the fold-up cars that we have, those car silhouettes. They're going to be behind the bus. You're going to have to engage targets at those cars, like, you know, kind of quasi-realistic. There's going to be another short course fire where you've got your hands on the shopping cart and you're by your car and there's another car and you got to engage targets there. The boat, what I want to do for the boat may actually get pushed to a 3-gun, because if your boat's being overrun by pirates, you're not grabbing your handgun, you're grabbing your rifle. And so what I had designed for SummerSlam would be, you've got skiffs out in the quote-unquote water, and you engage a couple of targets from inside the cabin of the boat, and then you run out and you hit a popper, and that popper causes all the targets to pop up inside the skiffs, and then you engage the targets. But I'm like, I don't know, who shoots off of a boat with a pistol? Really, though? You know?
Yep. It'll still be fun, though.
It will be. We'll do something, but...
Trigger time and excitement.
More close quarters.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get in some listener feedback, then. And this first one is from Melissa. So,
Mrs. Toby.
This Mrs. Toby, if you will. It's Mrs. Wannabe Canadian. Not
Mrs.
Mr. Mrs. Ewok, yes. So, Owen, you want to read that one for us?
It would be entirely my pleasure. She says, "Hey, fellas. Hope my favorite podcasters are having a..." Can I say that on the radio?
You really can't. No, I'll bleep you if you do. Go ahead if you want to, but I'm going to bleep you.
What's wrong with
There you go.
"Hope my fellow podcasters are having a kick-ass Friday. Was very pleased to see that episode 74 was out this morning. Can always count on you guys to keep this girl laughing and entertained throughout the day. Oh, and Trevor, I absolutely agree. The latest visitor on the last Squirrelcast totally ruined what was my favorite episode thus far."
That was Bolivar, wasn't it?
"I'd much rather hear you talk about Ipsic than be bored to death by carbine talk or told that I'm holding a rifle wrong. By the way,
I said, I know that was awful. There was a video of her shooting a moist nugget, and she didn't look impressed, and Bolivar was like, well, no wonder. Toby, you should teach your wife how to hold a rifle correctly, or some Bolivar-type comment.
I'll have to retract all the defending I did of him on Facebook. By the way, I would love to come out and play at your range someday. Speaking of the most unloved Canadian of podcasting history, I recently started listening to Slamfire Radio from the beginning and came across his guest spot on episode 19. I'm sure you covered some important info, but I want to know, where the heck is my t-shirt? I'm sure it got lost in the mail. If these are still available for purchase, please let me know how to order."
We actually do have a couple left, but I don't know if they're your right size. I think all we've got left is two extra large and three extra large. That's all we've got, and I'm sure that's not your size. So, sorry, next run, we'll make sure you're on the list. Well, actually, Brian will make sure you're on the list, and that way when we forget again, you can blame him again.
Because this is Brian's fault. He didn't have anything to do with the t-shirts or our show. But
no, but it's his fault.
It's his fault.
Yeah.
He's still butthurt about the fact that there's only two active Canadian pro-gun podcasts in Canada. He was crying about it on last week's episode of Modern Rifleman Radio.
Look, at the most, there's like 2.25.
Not even.
No, because, well, no, he's on. Like, he's a Canadian on an American show.
I thought, man, okay, 2.25 if you include Owen's show, right?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
just because you're not broadcasting anymore, so you know, that's why. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I thought this was my show.
This is one of your shows, yes.
Anyway, she continues. "I just wrapped up the longest episode in Slamfire history, episode 21, with guest host Toby Lee. obviously I like the guy, but 2 hours? Seriously? Usually when he starts rambling, I have the pleasure of walking away. Wasn't sure if I was going to make it through this one. Might want to find a different expert, quote unquote, next time around, or maybe even a woman's point of view. And no, definitely. I'm not drunk. To clarify a few things he brought up, I do not think that 9mm is an insufficient caliber to carry, or any of the smaller calibers. I just love to give that old man a hard time. Reality of it is, I probably should carry a 9mm, as I am very comfortable and accurate with that caliber. However, when it comes to target shooting or training, I just don't find it very challenging. And I'm a girl that loves a challenge. May very well be why I married my husband.
It's all the furry leaves around the house being an Ewok that I'm all trying to keep up with.
Also, with gun manufacturers and retail outfits marketing and refill. Okay. Also, with gun manufacturers and retail outfits marketing products towards women, I find it's usually the 22s and 380s that you find all girled up, and it grinds my gears. Besides the fact that they make everything pink, it's like they think a woman cannot handle anything more. Yet most girls I know are better shot than the guys.
Thankfully, like a girl. That's what I always say. Yep. It's true, right, guys? I say that.
Yeah, you always say that. But if you mean by that one time on episode 75, like 4 seconds ago, yeah, you always say that.
Shoot like a girl. I say that.
Thankfully, Ruger, did you shoot like a girl?
Trevor certainly does.
Sadly,
shoot like a girl.
I do not.
No.
Thankfully, Ruger produces some awesome firearms. Shooting the SR9C and the SR40C back-to-back, there's really not that much difference in the recoil. The trigger is the same, and I am just as accurate as I am with a 9mm. The only downfall, flashbang doesn't make a holster for it, so I'm forced to purse carry more than I care to do. Will I ever train with my XDS again? Maybe, but 200 rounds of 45 ACP through a 3.3-inch barrel that weighs 20 ounces might be a little much. However, it is a great great backup carry. With its size, it is so easy to conceal on the body when my outfit will not allow a waistband holster. I don't want to pull a Toby, so I'll wrap this up.
I think it's too late for that.
Thanks again for putting out a great show. Hopefully the weather clears up so you can get in some range time this weekend. It's been raining and chilly here all week as well. Got home yesterday and my heat was on. If my Novak had any gas, I wouldn't shoot. Okay. Can't say that in the radio either. She would have shot something out of her husband. Oh, and I am very much, I still very much utilize my middle finger while driving. Just not when he's along. Try driving in Omaha traffic and you will understand. Trevor and Christine, I hope you both have a very happy 40th birthday. Take it easy.
Very nice.
Well, yes. You guys are invited. It's November 1st. Anybody who listens to the podcast is invited.
There you go.
Wow.
I guess I should start listening to the podcast.
I'm going to say, I guess I'm not invited.
It's not every day you turn 40. And yeah, Owen and Ken Kowalski got on that kick too. Kowalski's like, I heard on the show that he's turning 40. How could that be? There's no way I'm older than he is. And Bolivar's like, yeah, he's lived a hard life. He hasn't always been kind to his body. A lot of hard miles on for a lot.
That's funny.
Yeah, and true.
All right. Well, thanks, Melissa, for the email. It was good. Thanks for clearing up some of those things that, of course, your husband, of course, you know, misrepresented you on. So
clearly.
Nice.
Erroneously.
Erroneously. There you go. Yeah. Whatever.
That's the big word for the show.
Right. Day?
Huh? Show. No, show.
All right. This next one from Sharp97. Trevor.
Hey, just finished listening to episode 74. Great stuff. I've had this question for a couple of weeks now. Why can't someone make a bolt action rifle or pump action rifle? Saw one this morning, actually, out of the state. I think Funker Tactical's Facebook that accepts AR or any other semi-auto rifle mags and stamp it, the mags, as such. Wouldn't this fix the cap problem altogether? Yes and no. If it, we have a pump-action Remington rifle that takes an AR mag, we can use that even though there's no capacity limits on a pump-action in Canada. when you use that particular pump action rifle with an AR mag, it has to be restricted to 5 rounds.
It's
because it can be used in a AR platform.
That's right. Any rifle that will accept a magazine from a semi-automatic rifle will be pinned according to the law.
Yeah, except for that one that goes in the Enfield and the M14.
Right, but that's because there is actually a rifle. It's hard to explain.
No, that's just the one that they missed. There's a bolt action rifle that takes that mag, and it's stamped for that rifle, but it just
it's a different mag.
No, it is a different mag.
It's not exactly the same.
It just works.
It works, but it's not the same mag. That's why. Right. So see, here's the thing. The Remington pump action that takes the AR-15 mag takes an AR-15 mag.
Right. It's a proprietary AR mag.
That's right. Australia International Arms Lee Enfield uses a magazine that's designed for the AIA Lee Enfield, but that magazine just happens to also fit in an M14.
It's not
the same magazine. It just looks the same, and its dimensions are the same, but there are key features that aren't actually there, and they actually don't run as well in the M14, but they do still run.
Owen, did you pick any up from Calgary Shooting Center recently?
No, I didn't.
Okay, because they've got some out there. But anyway, Sharps continues.
They don't sell stuff off their website, though, do they?
No, I think you just call them up and ask for Jeff Reese, and he'll take care of you.
Yeah.
As for the VZ-58 handgun problem, I happen to be reading the RCMP's Canadian Firearms Safety Course Handbook and noticed in Appendix D, legal definition, and I quote, handgun, a firearm that is designed, altered, or intended to be aimed and fired by the action of one hand, whether or not it has been redesigned or subsequently altered to be aimed and fired by the action of both hands. So, make of this as you would, but I think it's time someone sit down with someone of clout and just show them how one-sided the system really is. Keep up the great shows. Sharp 97. P.S. Just got my pal, so hope GOC has a lot more gun giveaways. And they do right now, Sharp. They're giving away a M305 and a zombie target and a couple other goodies. So get over there and like and share and all that good stuff.
Absolutely.
So, someone of clout, CSA, NFA, you need to call them on this. Solomon Freeman, somebody needs to point out the hypocrisy here. The problem is, and I've said it when we had our guest on from TV Press Pass, they're going to get away with it until they're taken to court. That's just the way the world works. And until somebody fights it in court, this is going to stand.
Well, I still think that, unfortunately, they have a leg to stand on because the receivers are coming from rifles. They're rifle receivers. The AR-15 receivers are stamped at the factory pistol receivers.
Right.
So it's the exact same thing, but it's what the manufacturer intended it for. So we need a manufacturer to produce a CZ or a VZ-58 receiver that says that's intended for it to be a pistol. So the back needs to be solid and they need to put right on it VZ-58 pistol.
I don't think the RCMP
would be able to do anything.
Well, they will. It's too late. The door's been opened now. They refuse the first one. The next one comes through. They're going to say, okay. So because you wrote pistol on this one, we're supposed to let it go?
No, there will be a paper trail if you do it properly, and it will show the difference. One of them came from a rifle manufacturer, and one came from a manufacturer who also manufactures pistols. The manufacturer has to have that. Like, you have to have the manufacturer on board for this to work. All right, this one's from Jason. He goes, dear guys, I greatly enjoyed your discussion about the VZ-58 pistol saga with Edward Osborne. I have seen a lot of his stuff online, and his Tavor review has made me decide that I want one in the near future. I had seen a bit about his saga with the pistol, so had anti-gun reporter Patrick Kane, who wrote about this issue in January, where he talks about evil gun people trying to circumnavigate the law. I just wanted to say that I cannot agree with Matthew's assertion that any semi-auto with a pistol grip is a handgun. Yeah, you're probably right. First, while rifles often have pistol grips, they are still meant to be used two-handed. Second, if what he said were true, then all the semi-autos that have pistol grips that aren't restricted already would suddenly become handguns and be restricted. The idea is to loosen things up, not to give more excuses to restrict them. Great Greatly enjoy the show, and I hope Edward is successful in fighting against this bad ruling. Sincerely, Jason. Yeah, Jason, I know what I said, and it wasn't quite right. I think what we were trying to do is show the ludicrousness of their ruling, and we were just kind of going the other way, saying, well, anything can be fired one-handed if it has a pistol grip, so they're all handguns, but we understand they really aren't.
What about
No, go ahead, Filthy.
I said, what about Arnold Schwarzenegger? They're all pistols to him.
They really are, yeah.
Well, dude's like 73 years old. That's the best you could come up with?
That's all he had, yeah.
Wow, filthy.
It's like in a commando.
That was 1984.
It's still awesome.
Owen, what were you going to say before you got cut off?
I was going to say, does this mean I can only shoot my pistol one-handed now?
See, that's the thing. I don't know, because every pistol I've ever shot, I have shot it two-handed, and I think they're designed to be shot two-handed. You got to shoot a pistol two-handed to do it properly, really. I don't know. I guess all the PPC shooters are going to be yelling at their screens now because, wait, we don't have any of those listed. Well, yeah, never mind.
Unless it's 1920s and earlier.
Right.
You know, since then, people have been shooting them two-handed.
That's right. So anyway. From Brandon. No, Brandon. Trevor.
I wrote Braden.
Yeah, no, it's Braden. Braden, right? Hennessy?
No, it's Brendan. He what?
It's
he,
Brendan, not Brandon. Brendan.
It's Brendan.
We're calling him Brenda from now on. Brenda, thank you for writing in. All right, listener.
Brendan.
If it was my daughter pronouncing it, it would be Hin. Hin-I-N-E-Y.
Yeah, nice. That's it.
Okay, go ahead, Brenda.
No, you're reading it.
Oh, hey, guys. And when I say hey, guys, I mean everyone but Trevor. Yeah, you heard me. Who the heck is Brendan Hennessy? It's Brendan Heaney. Definition, Heaney, a cool name you can't pronounce but wish you had. I can, but choose not to. Owen, all of your info on goose hunting was great. I started duck hunting 2 years ago and fell in love when my first duck crashed into the pond. Moving targets are way more interesting. Anyone can run a course of fire and shoot paper with a pistol. It takes a real man to take a duck or even a goose.
Amen.
Okay. Sorry, Matt. I hear you're good at IPSC. I would also like to thank you guys for your 9 versus 45 versus 40 versus 45 debate. Yeah, I messed that up a little.
That's okay. Carry on. It works.
Truly informative. 9mm has come a very long way and could see myself getting a 1911 in it. Then I could almost be as cool as Trev, for having two 1911s, one in 40 and another one in 9mm. Well, that's it for now. And I'm Brenda Hooney? No, actually, it was supposed to be red. And I'm Brendan Heaney? Thank you, Brendan.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And they're 2011s.
That's right. Of course they are. Yeah, shooting stuff out of the air is way more fun. I got to agree with him on that.
Okay.
It's more fun.
It's more fun.
Or it's funner, more funner. Sorry, I said it wrong. More
there,
funner.
Now I understand.
Now it makes sense. It is. Well, maybe it's not more fun.
It's
one or the other has to be moving to be fun. Either I've got to be moving and shooting at still targets, or I'm still shooting at moving targets. I think that's the way you have the most amount of fun. One or the other.
What if
you're moving and the targets are moving too?
Well, that's just too much fun, Owen. Calm yourself down. Slow down, buddy. Go back to sleep. Holy
hogs
cow.
From a helicopter, baby. they're both fun. I shot trap every Sunday this summer with the exception of 3 Sundays. So I think that's pretty darn good. I probably shot more trap this summer than I'd it'd be close. I definitely put more rounds down range as far as IPSC is concerned. But as far as getting out on a regular basis to do something, you could say I shot more trap than I did IPSC matches.
Wow.
I won't say it's more fun, but it's definitely a lot of fun. It's a different kind of fun. It's a different kind of skill. It's a different kind of appeal.
Yep.
And
Jason
yeah.
Flip is dancing with joy right now.
You just call him Jason Flip?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, shout out to Jason for the email that he sent us that we couldn't share on our Facebook page. Or anywhere. Did you guys see that particular email from Mr. Philp?
I don't think I did.
I never checked the email.
You really want to check this email from Jason Philp. It's a question as to whether or not the guns being held by the shooter were 45s or 44s. So I actually answered on because he called me and Matthew in the email, Owen, I answered on your behalf. I said, Owen said there were 45 long colts. So you really, really.
I guess we'll have to check that out.
Really? Well, he just needs to check it out.
He just won't acknowledge my presence because he knows I'm right when I call them skeet. So.
That must be what it is.
Oh, that's funny. Yep, skeets. All right. All right, well, that's the listener feedback, I guess, into some shout-outs and goodbyes, because I don't think anybody checked to see if we had an iTunes review or not.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. No, shout-outs. Trevor.
To everyone who shot this year's multi-gun,
that was going
to
be mine. Ah.
No, I'm just kidding. You read it in there.
I did. That was mine. You read my line.
Did really?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
Carry on.
Confused. So to everyone who shot this year's multi-gun, thank you very much for attending, all 19 of you. Congratulations to the winners. And to PressTech Ventures, thank you so much for sponsoring this year's event. I hope you're on board for next year's as well, because it really helped add to the ambiance.
Yeah, that was the word he was going for. Yeah.
No, it helped classing up the joint a little bit, you know. And Luke from Bang Switch Boutique, he wasn't an official match sponsor, but he still threw swag on the prize table, so big shout out for him. To him and Bang Switch for doing that. And to Fred for the most kick butt knife in the universe.
A folding kukri.
I know.
It's crazy.
A cold steel folding kukri.
Yeah.
This thing, oh my God, I couldn't get over this thing. And then he actually hid it behind my gun vise and I had no idea it was there. And, he was joking about how he thought he felt like he should have been paying me for the little lessons that I was giving him in Filthy. And I made an off-the-cuff comment about we made a Canada Post joke, and he's like, well, he's very young. He's like 22, so he's never mailed a letter in his life, right?
Right.
So he's like, the only reason I use Canada Post is for CGN. So I told him, your bill for the training session is in the mail. See what I did there.
And, yeah, because he doesn't use Canada Post.
And Filthy's like, your payment's sitting on your workbench downstairs. I'm like, what? Yeah. So I go downstairs, and here it is sitting on my workbench. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, you can't give me this knife. He's like, dude, I got more knives than you have guns. So I was like, pound of powder.
Stripper clips.
Went and picked up another pound of powder, worked on my air, and then give me this knife. Like, and he made his bed. You don't
what?
Make his bed. He
I
made
don't,
his bed.
I made my bed
just poorly.
Yeah, I just suck at making beds. I try.
So just like Matt Lorette and Fred, welcome back anytime. They always clean up the rooms and make their beds when they leave.
See, I just assume you're going to change the sheets out anyway, because who would want to sleep in the bed after me? But anyway, maybe
that's
not.
That's why I never change the sheets in your room, because you only sleep in there.
Tommy slept in there last time. So did I get Essence of Tommy this time?
You did.
Oh, nice.
Rolled around in Tommy.
I was wondering why I shot a little bit better in this match.
Tommy-ness, yeah.
All right. Do you have any shout-outs, Owen?
No, I don't have any shout-outs.
Oh, wow, that's perfect. And neither do I. So, Filthy, do you have any shout-outs?
I do. Actually, Luke gave me a couple things after the shoot, and I really appreciate that. Bang my switch, baby. And
video's on Facebook. You got to see it.
Yeah. That was actually quite a bit of fun. And Jeff from Ontario, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
All right.
Mystery.
Well, you go, Jeff from Ontario. All right, so be sure to join both of our National Firearms Associations, the CSSA and the NFA. Also, please be sure to check us out on Gun Owners of Canada. Like us on Facebook, please. We're just over 1,000 right now and counting. We want to get up to more. Also, check out the other great shows on both the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network as well as the Crusader Podcast Network. There are lots of really cool shows on both of those networks. You should totally go check them out. Filthy, I just want to say it was an absolute pleasure having you on the show with us this week.
Oh, it's my pleasure too.
May the force be with you.
May the empire rock.
Always.
All right. Trevor, Owen, say something smart and witty.
I'm Brendan Heaney.
And I'm Ron Burgundy.
Oh, very nice.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.